when we were thinking about our suite of Christmas and Advent services, we decided to take the theme of up close and personal. And over the 4 weeks of Advent, we have looked at the four different aspects of the Advent journey, each represented by one of these four candles on the outside of this Advent wreath. Hope, up close and personal. Not just a concept or an idea, but the hope that comes to reside in our hearts when we have faith in God through his Son, the Lord Jesus, the one who came and will come again. Joy, that sense of wonderful celebration and hopefulness and rejoicing that change is possible and we are not alone, that comes to us by God, not our joy, but the joy of the Lord, which becomes our strength when we receive it as a gift. Peace. Not simply the absence of conflict, but the presence of a stillness and a calmness that will hold us at the very center of our being to the very edge of the universe when we receive it from the one who is described in the writing of the prophet Isaiah as the Prince of Peace. And love. Not just a warm, gushy, emotional feeling, which our culture has turned it into, but a rock of stability that will hold you through every uncertainty and give you strength and support and remind you that God remains faithful no matter what. But tonight, as we approach Christmas, and technically I shouldn't be doing this until 11:59, but since the tubes close and you want to get home, and this is the first time in 38 years that I have not marked midnight with a candle to remember the birth of Christ, I find it quite emotional. I light the center candle to remember Christ, born for us, who carries love, joy, hope, and peace to each of us if we will receive it. The title for tonight's service was simply this: Hope That Shatters Darkness. Darkness pervades our world. It pervades our cultures, it pervades our families often. And yet, what is darkness? Can you go and turn darkness on? Is there a darkness switch in your house? When you get up in the morning, do you say, I better turn the dark off? Of course you don't. Because darkness is nothing other than the absence of light. And throughout the Bible, light is a motif of hope and love and joy and peace that is offered to each of us. The creation story in the Judeo-Christian tradition does not begin with light. It begins with darkness. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void. And darkness reigned over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And from that moment, light has been chasing the people of God. Throughout the Old Testament, this picture of light is offered to us as a candle of hope, as a torch that will guide us. Great poets in Israel said things like, your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. They spoke of light being something that would accompany them wherever they went, as long as God's presence was with them. One of their great leaders, Moses, was led by a pillar of light and fire with the people of Israel following. This picture of light pervades the Old Testament. But as the Jewish people go into darkness and exile and they lose their identity and they lose their sense of direction and they find themselves in a land far away from home, maybe some of you feel like that tonight, wondering who they are. They lose the ability to sing and they hang their harps on trees. And they say, by the rivers of Babylon, modern day Iraq, we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. They'd been taken hundreds of miles away from the safety and security of their culture and their families and their place, and they'd been brought into exile as an oppressed people. And yet, God promises them that he will bring them into light again. 750 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah says this. It's recorded in Isaiah chapter 9. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And on those who live in a land of gloom and despair, the light has dawned. And he goes on to say, unto them a son will be given, a child will be born, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and he will be called Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And when you get into the birth of the Lord Jesus, light fills the story. The angels fill the night sky with light because Christ has been born. He ministers and preaches and he says, I am the light of the world. He says to his disciples, when you follow me, you are the light of the world. In one of the readings that you heard tonight, John, trying to explain this light, says the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness can never understand it, can never overcome it, can never defeat it, can never remove it, can never change it. One word that is impossible to translate in English. This light shines. That's what we celebrate tonight. That the light has shone in the darkness. That if you will hear it, you do not need to live in gloom. And yet that light itself was snuffed out in death. For 3 days, entering darkness and then rose again with a light that would never be extinguished. And when you jump to the end of the story, you read this about the world, which began in a garden and will end when the world is a garden city. That there is no need of sun or moon anymore, because the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be the light of that new creation. I am promised as a child of God that the hope that God offers me through his son, Jesus Christ, is powerful enough to shatter every shard of darkness in me. The darkness of my sin, the darkness of my shame, the darkness of my fear, the darkness of my guilt, the darkness of my isolation, the darkness of my loneliness, the darkness of my regret, the darkness of my prejudice, the darkness of my secret hidden traits that no one else knows. The light of Christ can break everyone. We prayed a few moments ago for some of the nations of the world. The light of Christ and God's people carrying his light can make a difference in such places. And here tonight, I invite you, as you look at the vulnerability of these five candles, one puff of my breath would extinguish them. I invite you to realize that the light that Christ lights in you, if you will let him, has the power to chase away the darkness in your soul. Wherever you go, if you carry Christ, it cannot be completely dark. Perhaps you go home to a lonely house. You're not alone when you have Christ. Perhaps you think there's no one there that can help you. He will never leave those whom he loves. He's promised always to be there. There's a wonderful story told of the Scottish writer Robert Louis Stevenson as a little boy. He had a nanny and he would go to the window of his home in Edinburgh and look out across the pavement. And the nanny would every night say to him, Robert, he wrote Treasure Island and books like that, Robert, come away from the window. And he'd say, no, I don't want to. She'd say, come away from the window. He'd say, no. She said, why are you obsessed with the window? And he said, I'm watching the man punch holes in the darkness. And he was looking out as the gas lamp lighter in Edinburgh walked along the streetlights and lit each one as it got dark. I pray that you will be a light that punches a hole in the darkness. I pray that you will know that the light of Christ punches holes in darkness around you. And that above and beyond everything else, he can punch a hole in the darkness that is in you and bring you into light. We remember his light tonight by remembering the one who came to a cradle, went to a cross. That's why this service for me is such an important part of my approach to Christmas. I know many of you say Christmas started weeks ago for you. Christmas starts for me tonight. And the first thing I do as I remember the Christmas message is remember that the baby that was born is the king that died. And I'm going to invite you, if you are able, to take communion with me now. This is a table that is offered to all who know and love Jesus Christ. It's a simple act of remembrance. Our stewards will make available to you a small cup. I'll show you it in a moment or two. And in it, there is a little bit of juice and some bread. If you haven't already, thank you so much, Lilies. If you hadn't already received it, then just put your hand up if you'd like to take this and they will make sure that you are served. This is a table that is offered to all who are followers of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've come this evening online or here and you're interested in church, but you haven't actually ever heard of this Savior. He offers himself to you tonight. What a wonderful thing it would be if on Christmas Eve 2024, you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and became a follower of Christ. To make that step, all you need to do is acknowledge your need of a Savior. Ask him to forgive you. Receive the gift of life and hope that he gives. And determine to walk in his way. It's as simple as that. And he reaches out his hand to you tonight and says, if you would come and follow me, then take up your cross. Let me forgive you. Let me give you the greatest gift possible, the gift of eternal life. You can address the access the bread by pulling back the cellophane on the top of your little cup and the cup underneath by pulling on the foil cover. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples. And he said, this bread is my body, broken for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Eat from it, all of you. If you know and serve the Lord Jesus, I invite you to break bread with me now as we remember his body broken for us. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup and he drank from it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, this cup is the new covenant of my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink from it, all of you. We drink together to remember the blood of the Lord Jesus shed for us. Please pray with me. in the stillness of this moment, we come before you, Almighty God, before whom all hearts are known and from whom no secrets can be hidden. And we confess that we have sinned against you in word and thought and deed. We thank you for the forgiveness of your Son, for those things which we ought to have done and we have not done. And we thank you for the forgiveness of your Son, for those things that we ought not to have done and we have done. And we pray that you would cleanse our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you would give us the power to live for you moment by moment, day by day. And from the very bottom of our hearts, we thank you that light has shattered darkness, that hope is stronger than despair, that joy is stronger than mourning, that life is stronger than death, and that peace is stronger than conflict. We receive again your gifts of hope and love and joy and peace. And we ask that you would help us not only to receive them, but to share them with our families, our friends, our communities, our neighborhoods, our cities, our nations, and our world. At so many tables tomorrow, there will be conflict, spoken or unspoken. May the peace of God reign in our hearts, and may it reign through us. And we thank you for the cry of the baby that night in Bethlehem, and for the cry of the Savior on the cross, and for the cry that will one day accompany him when he returns to reign and to rule. Cries that shatter darkness. Hope that shatters darkness. In Jesus' beautiful and holy name, amen.